From 1898, when the stampeders, rafts and boats and barges were jammed six deep along Dawson's waterfront and followed by palatial sternwheelers, the waterfront was the main street in Dawson. Then came the construction of the all-weather road between here and Whitehorse, and the river travel came practically to an end. But even when things were quietest, each spring there was a flurry of preparation and loading of one small craft, the Brainstorm. Built in 1951 by retired mounted policeman George Kirk, the small vessel made her trips north to Old Crow. The last 3 years, there has been increased activity along the bank of the Yukon River, and the Brainstorm shares the landing area with other craft. Dawson-born Frank Burkhart has been operator and captain of the boat, which will leave shortly on her first trip of the season. Hello, Frank. How large is the Brainstorm, and what tonnage do you carry?
Brainstorm is approximately 50 feet long and has a beam of about 10 feet. And with the two barges that we carry, we have about 25 tons gross.
Now, how long do you take ordinarily to make the trip up to Old Crow, your mileage and your time you would take?
About 3 weeks is a good trip, and a round trip is 1,400 miles.
1,400 miles. Now, you go down the Yukon and up the Porcupine. Are they about the same length, the distance you travel?
Not quite. We travel about 400 miles on the Yukon and then another 300 miles up the Porcupine to Old Crow.
Now, is one place in the river more troublesome than another part?
Well, there are 90 miles of what is known as the Yukon Flats, and this is 1,001 channels and constantly changing, and it's quite a headache to get down through there without having trouble.
And I've heard about the ramparts, too. Now, where are they?
The ramparts are about two-thirds of the way up the Porcupine to Old Crow, and they consist of large hills and very swift riffles.
And I've also heard the Porcupine can change its level very quickly. Have you experienced this?
Yes, the Porcupine is a very up-and-down river. We've had a drop of 2 feet in one night and a raise of the same.
Now, what sort of freight would you carry on a trip like this?
We carry just about all the freight that a village of 150 people would use. And
have you had any unusual cargo during the years you've been on the river?
Well, I believe we hauled the first piano to Old Crow. I'm not certain of this, but everybody tells us that it's so.
And then you carried the dried fish, I think, didn't you, too?
We take about 200, two tons of dried fish up to Old Crow every season. This is dog feed for the RCMP for their winter patrols.
Now, how large a crew does it take for the Brainstorm?
We usually have a crew of four, and that includes cook and deckhands. Mm-hmm.
It appears as though you have all the comforts of home on board.
Over the years, the boat has been built up that we now have oil stove, propane fridge, electric lights. At one time it was a question of going out and cutting wood before you could make breakfast, and that was quite a bit of trouble.
Well, this is quite an improvement, Frank. You mentioned before that this would probably be your last trip now, is that so?
That's right. The boat is now under new management, and this will be my last trip to Old Crow.
Well, thank you very much, Frank Burkhart. Ever since the early days, there's been a ferry crossing the Yukon at Dawson. From West Dawson came the miners from the 60-mile country, commercial fishermen with salmon and grayling from the nets. Then for years, traffic across the river came almost to a halt. But now with the ever-increasing tourist traffic to and fro over the 60-mile road, the high hum of the Dawson ferry, the McQuesten, can be heard almost any hour of the day or night. And in charge of the vessel is Weldon Farr.
Been here for 3 years.
How large a crew have you? What hours do you work?
Well, on each ship there is two of a crew.
And what are their hours?
Well, it's either from, it's a 10-hour shift.
Well, the ferry's in operation then 20 hours a day, is that it?
Yes, yes, that's right, 20 hours a day.
How big is the ferry and what sort of engines do you have?
The ferry's a slight bit over 50 feet long, and it's 21 or 22 feet wide. And the motor is a 170 horsepower six-cylinder motor.
It's quite a current to the Yukon. How great is it?
Well, it varies somewhat. High water is considerable more, but at a moderate stage, I should judge about 7 miles an hour.
Now, how many trips do you average a day during your busy season?
Well, in the month of July and August, possibly 30 to 40 trips a shift.
Is that right? You're really busy, aren't you? Now, how long does it take to go over and back on an average trip?
Oh, an average trip over and back would be roughly from 25 minutes to 30 minutes.
Oh, I see. Now, how many vehicles did you carry last year?
Well, the total vehicles carried last year was 4,569. And the passengers was 10,622 passengers.
Do they come from one place more than another, Mr. Farr?
Yes, we get considerable travel from California, state of California. Mm-hmm. Seems to be more than others.
Mm-hmm. And quite a few Alaskans, I suppose, come over, do they?
Yes, we get a lot of Alaskans.
What sort of questions do they ask you, chiefly?
How fast the river is traveling, and the width of the river, and also the distance from the sea. And another question quite asked is, what are those old boats over in West Dawson, the old shipyard boats?
Now, when you're working day after day, what is your biggest worry?
Well, lots of time the worry here is the stage of water. It's up and down, making landings, I suppose would be the biggest worry.
Mm-hmm. You've had trouble with driftwood the last while too, have you?
Yes, the river was exceedingly high lately and considerable drift was traveling.
Mm-hmm. What about the behavior of your passengers? Do they worry you sometimes?
No, they don't seem to worry a bit.
Not even the children, eh?
No.
Now, what other responsibilities do you have besides operating the ferry?
Well, what would that be now?
The approaches and things like
yes,
that?
Yes, building the landings. Mm-hmm. And seeing that the cars are getting on safely and off.
How long does your season last?
Well, it lasts from the latter part of May till we say the latter part or middle of October.
Mm-hmm. Then you have work before and after the season then, have you?
Yes, we work on the roads. Mm-hmm. Before and after.
And preparing the ferry, do you?
And preparing, yeah, for mm-hmm. the ferry.
I notice that you say you have a Sid Jackson who's a member of your crew.
Oh, yes, Sid is right here.
And he's a former seaman himself?
Yes, he's been to sea a good many years, and he knows all the ins and outs of mm-hmm. boats.
Thank you, Mr. Farr. Sid, you're a member of this ferry crew and apparently no stranger to the life of a crew member. Now, did you spend some time at sea?
Yes, I've put about 25 years at sea, mm-hmm. sailing mostly around the world.
You have?
Many trips to Japan and many trips to South Africa and England.
Oh, and how long have you been away from that life?
Oh, I left in 1952. Mm-hmm.
And where did you sail from mostly?
Vancouver, British Columbia.
And how do you feel about this life on the ferry?
Well, it's a small job, but I like it just the same.
You seem to keep yourself busy.
I keep myself busy keeping it clean.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Jackson. And now I see you have a car waiting for you on the other side, and thank you very much. Although in the midsummer it's pleasant enough on the river and it's green and nice around, however, when the fall comes and the heavy fog set in, It gets very uncomfortable and chilly on board. I've just heard recently of when the fog being so thick one September morning, and the captain, instead of heading across river, found himself downstream nearing the city dump. It was a simple enough thing to do when the fog is thick. Then again, everything on board is icy cold. There are bad winds, and this fog rolls in. However, tonight the sun is high and it's lovely and warm, and here comes a visitor from the other side. And they're very carefully lowering the apron, and Mr. Farr is beckoning the driver to come forward. He has a small station wagon. He's also pulling a trailer, and looks as though he is carrying an Oregon license. And he's very carefully easing the car up the ramp, and now he is ashore and heading down Front Street of Dawson City. And here's a second car backing up. It's a red station wagon from California with two people. They're looking very happy to be over the ferry and backing up over the approach. And right beside us goes a blue car. It's also pulling a trailer, and they're heading back onto the ferry. And this one, it comes from Washington. About 150 yards upstream from the ferry landing is an anchored barge used by Conley Dawson Airlines as a float plane dock. Coming down onto the dock is Conley Dawson Airlines pilot Jim Reed, ready for his trip out. Jim, where are you off to this morning?
Well, we have a trip out to Old Crow this morning with the Department of Public Works.
Now, how far is Old Crow from here by airline?
Well, it's about 250 miles direct and 500 miles round trip.
How long will you be gone then, do you figure?
Well, it generally takes anywhere from 2 hours and 15 to 2 and a half hours one way.
It looks as though your aircraft's pretty well loaded. How big a load have you got, and what are you taking this morning?
Well, a full load, we take 1,000 pounds.
How long have you been flying out of Dawson, Jim?
Well, I'm starting my fourth year now with Conley Dawson Airways.
Well, where else have you flown besides around here?
Well, I've done my other flying down on the coast, Harrison Hot Springs, Cascade Air Service. Oh, yeah. And I spent 2 years down there doing what we call charter work, hauling loggers to and from the logging camps. And also, we used to do timber cruises and hauling fishermen and hunters out to different lakes in the area.
Can you fly all night now up here?
Yeah, we can fly all night right now. We have about a 30-day period. We can fly 24 hours a day.
Do you prefer night flying?
Well, evening you usually get more stable air, and flying is a lot smoother and getting away from the thunderstorms in the daytime.
And apparently you consider that most of them are just routine flights with freight and personnel for the camps and mail. Have you had any out-of-the-ordinary trips recently?
Well, we had a car accident a couple of weeks back, and we had to make a trip at midnight down to Whitehorse with a patient, and we had the doctor and his nurse along.
Mm-hmm. This would be a rather hurried flight and a night flight too, wouldn't it?
Well, it's what we call emergency flight.
Mm-hmm. Now up here, Jim, you're using wheels and skis and floats. Do you have any preference for this?
Well, I prefer floats. We have a lot more room. And it's just like driving a boat. You have more things to see and a lot better conditions and a better atmosphere.
Well, Jim, it looks as though they have your load on board, and thank you very much, and we'll see you when you come back from Old Crow. While the brainstorm slowly makes its way north to Old Crow, 3 weeks round trip if all goes well, and the government ferry plies back and forth from shore to shore, the pontoon-equipped aircraft come and go from the beach of the Yukon River. There have been as many as 7 planes beached along this stretch of the shore at one time. Taxiing out into the stream and ready for takeoff is a Beaver aircraft belonging to Connolly Dawson Airways. They have a floating dock here, and at present there are 2 machines being serviced. Their engineers wear their white coveralls with Connolly Dawson Airlines and Servicing the North printed on the backs. Pilot Jim Reed is out in midstream and ready to take off for Old Crow. Bobbing from the wash of the planes taking off is a neat, bright blue craft tied up to part of the old White Pass dock. It is called the Bonanza Belle, and on board are the owners of Dawson's new cruise ship, Len Miller and Roy McPhail. Roy, how long have you been operating the Bonanza Belle?
We've been operating just this summer, Athol.
And how many passengers do you carry?
Well, we are licensed to carry 24 passengers. Actually, we can carry more than 24, up to 30, we figure, but we have life preservers, and we come up to the standards of the Department of Transport in carrying 24 passengers and supplying buoyancy for the number we have on board.
Mm. What is the approximate size of the ship, and what power do you use?
Well, this boat is powered by an approximately 100 horsepower V8 converted Ford engine, and it cruises, we figure, downstream, of course, about 22 knots, and upstream against a 9-knot current, approximately speed is about 10 knots.
I understand it was made specifically for this part of the river, wasn't it?
That is true. The boat was designed and built by Ed Whitehouse, who is with the territorial government in the Yukon. Mr. Whitehouse built the boat, I believe, in 1951 for use on the river.
Now, who take advantage of your cruises, Roy?
Most of our passengers come by air from either Anchorage or Fairbanks, but we do have a fair amount of local people and also people that come into Dawson to see our town by car.
How often do you make these cruises?
Well, we are trying to set up a schedule now. The summer tour season seems to be getting underway, and we're trying to arrange our schedule to have a trip at least twice a day. But we'll make a trip at any time. We have a minimum, we'll take a minimum of 5 passengers. We can't operate for less than that.
Oh, I see, Len. Now, where do you go? Which is your first cruise that they usually take?
We have 2 cruises, Athol. The first one goes to Moosehide, which is an Indian village approximately 2 to 3 miles downriver. There is a great deal of history in this village, and we actually dock at the village and take people on shore where they can talk to a few of the natives that are left, including Reverend Richard Martin, who is the Anglican priest for the area. Reverend Martin is, I believe he's about 80 years old at the present time. He is blind, but he has a great memory, and his stories are quite thrilling to the tourists that talk to him.
I imagine they would be, Roy. Are there any other buildings down there that interest the people particularly?
There's also an Anglican church, which is just used irregularly now, but it has a great deal of appeal. It was built in 1908. As well, there is a residential school. This school hasn't been used now for perhaps 5 years, but the people do find it very entertaining to go through and see the desks in place, the blackboards still on the walls, and even beds in the upstairs where the people used to reside.
Sounds like a very interesting spot. Now, where else do you go on this Lower River cruise? Lenny?
Well, we also have a cruise upriver, which is a little farther, approximately 5 miles. Roy owns an island up there called Chicken Billy Island. You probably know some of the history of that. At one time, I think the man's name was Billy Anstead, and apparently quite a farm up there with a great number of chickens. And the remains of his farm are still there, and apparently he had quite a system. There's an irrigation system there and a water tank. I believe we estimated the capacity at about 5,000 gallons, and he used this to raise vegetables and I suppose some feed probably for the chickens. And at one time, I don't know how many years ago, possibly 30 or 40 years ago, maybe longer, I think there was quite a chicken farm at this island, and we certainly hope that the many tourists and local people will take advantage of it, because there is a big dance hall up there, and I think yourself and probably a lot of the other local people have taken advantage of this to have their square dances up there where you're not bothered by anyone, and you can certainly have a good time, and we hope to be able to make something of this.
Yes, I know it's a great place to go for an evening out. Now, what else is left up there of this Chicken Billy's farm with another?
Well, besides what Len has told you, we also found on scouting around the island that there are remains of a barge that was pulled up on shore, oh, it must have been 40 or 50 years ago. It is quite a sight, really. The trees are growing right up through the barge at the present time, but you can still see the old wooden affair that was used to pull the barge onto shore. And we presume that this barge was used to transport vegetables and chickens and eggs from the island to Dawson for sale.
I gather that you have other plans too for Chicken Billy's, have you, Roy?
Yes, we have good plans. We're not prepared right at the present time to reveal all of our proposed activities, but I think as the time goes along that Chicken Billy Island will become one of the popular spots in the Dawson City area for tourists.
Thank you. When we were speaking about the downriver tourist land, you said something previously about the fish wheel. Is that still active down there?
Yes, actually, that's one of the highlights of the downriver trip, and we certainly wouldn't want to omit that. There are several fishermen in the area, natives and others who operate these fish wheels, and there will be three, I understand, in the Moosehide area. One of these will be right in front of the village of Moosehide, and it is certainly one of the main attractions of the downriver trip, and the tourists just go wild over taking pictures of it. And of course it's an action wheel, it's turning continuously, and most of the time there are salmon in the wheel, and the Happy Jack down there, as you know, sometimes gives the fish to the tourists that are camping out in the auto court here, and they take it up with them, and they certainly enjoy it wholeheartedly.
Sounds like fun. Well, thank you very much, Roy McPhail and Len Miller, and the best of luck to you and the Bonanza Bell in your summer cruises.
Thank you.
And there goes a Bonanza Bell, heading upstream, getting ready for another one of her very popular summer cruises. Anchored near the shore in a quiet eddy, a little upstream from the stern wheeler Keno, is a Cessna 180. This belongs to Pat Collison, who has just returned from one of his frequent trips around the territory, servicing his helicopter fleet. Hello, Pat. You just got in. Where have you been?
Well, right now I just come from a trip around the Yukon, visiting these different helicopters. I spent some time down around Watson Lake and Canada Tungsten and Duclo Exploration Company, And, well, right now we have several different jobs going, so I pretty well covered them all on this trip.
How many helicopters do you have, Pat?
We're operating 7 helicopters. I own 6 and have 1 lease machine, and have this 1 airplane, more or less, for servicing the helicopters.
Now, how many have you personnel in your company?
Right now we have 16, at least on the payroll. We always know at the end of the month how many we have.
And how long have you been operating helicopters, Pat?
The helicopters, this will be our 4th year with helicopters.
Mm-hmm. You've been flying a good many years, haven't you? And how long have you been flying yourself?
Approximately 25 years in northern B.C. and Yukon, mostly. I've covered a lot of other parts of the country, but most of it's been through British Columbia and Yukon. Mm-hmm.
And how long have you been flying out of Dawson?
Dawson, I first started flying into Dawson about 1942. At that time, I was with Northern Airways out of Carcross, and they were, at that time, the only charter flying service in the Yukon. And we used to come in the fall and spring and do whatever work there was to do.
Then you decided to go on your own. What was there on the beach here when you started?
Well, not too much. There were, actually, we started the first charter base, that is the one that was based out of Dawson. There was plenty of flying out of Dawson before that time, but in 1947, I decided to start in my own here. And at that time, the most of these small mail routes and different things was done with dog team. And so we put those people out of business, and there has been quite a change since 1947.
When you say a change, I imagine you mean that flying conditions have changed a great deal, too, from those days, Pat.
Yes, some. Particularly with our weather. We have a very good setup here now for weather, and the maps are much better now. At that time, there were no real good maps of the country except the old Dawson map of the Yukon, which was very inaccurate.
Now, what jobs are helicopters particularly suited for, Pat?
Well, I'd say that helicopters and airplanes really don't overlap too much. The helicopters do a different type of work. Where they are really suited is on survey work, exploration work, especially on topographical survey and that type of work, where it's impossible to get to these places any other way. It has speeded up things a lot.
And then you would say that they have opened up the exploration of the country, have they?
Yeah, definitely, yes. They have made a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Are you expecting one of your aircraft in this morning?
Yes, there should be one coming along very soon now. This is Alan Jadot. He'll be able to tell you about some of the things that he's done around.
Thank you, Pat. Good morning. What's your name?
Chuck Hankins.
Mm-hmm. And you work with Klondike Helicopters,
That's
do you?
Right. Yes.
And what is your work with the company?
I'm an engineer here.
Are you? And where are you from, Chuck?
Well, I'm from Whitehorse. I've been for 11 years now.
Oh, have you? And you're expecting this machine in it. Now what will you do as soon as it lands?
We'll refuel and prepare for another trip that's to be taken out of here shortly.
Are you based in Dawson permanently now?
No, we're going back to Whitehorse and then I think to Watson Lake tomorrow morning.
Are you assigned to one machine in particular?
Mostly for the summer. Not necessarily, though.
And have you been with helicopters very long?
I'm going in my 2nd year now.
Are you? Well, it sounds as though this one's getting close the way the boys are moving around. Thanks, Chuck.
Okay.
Here comes the pilot of this trip that just came in. Good morning, and what is your name, please?
Alan Jadot.
And how long have you been here, Alan?
About 2 months now.
Have you? You weren't very far out this morning on this trip, were you?
No, about 30 miles on the Fish Creek.
Mm-hmm. Now, how large a load can you carry on a helicopter this size?
Oh, around 550 pounds of load, yeah.
And what altitude do you usually keep a helicopter?
Well, it depends on the altitude of the terrain itself, but usually 1,000 or 2,000 feet above the ground. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what speed do you travel when you're going through the country?
It depends. The speed varies when if you're loaded or not, but with a full load, would be around 55, 60 miles per hour.
Mm-hmm. Well, they tell me that you're a comparative newcomer to this part of the country. How long have you been here?
In Canada?
Yes.
Oh, 8-9 months now.
That is all. Where did you fly then before you came to Canada?
Oh, I flew for the French Air Force since 1953. I flew fixed wing till 58 and I switched to a helicopter.
And what sort of flights were you making with a helicopter in Algeria?
When I was flying in Algeria, well, carried people like I do in here, and food and ammunition and reconnaissance and wounded personnel back to the hospital, and some kind of a war mission that consists of watching the aircraft, bombing aircraft, strafing, you know, and soldiers walking on the ground and gives order to everybody.
Well, that certainly is a different sort of life to what you're leading now. How do you feel about Yukon flying then?
It's pretty quiet compared to what I flew before. And well, there are lots of trees and you have to watch for that.
Well, it sounds as though you lived a very interesting life. Now, are you taking off right away, Al?
Yeah, as soon as we get ready, we'll take off to Whitehorse.
Mm-hmm. And how long does your season last up here flying?
5 months. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the end will be in the 1st of October.
Mm-hmm. And then when will you spend the winter?
I don't know. I expect to go down to San Francisco, see some friends of mine, and maybe go back for the hunting season in Quebec. Mm-hmm.
Have you any plans to return to France?
Oh, not yet, not before 3, 4, 5 years.
And thank you, Al Jandot. This concludes a typical day along Dawson City waterfront. And this is Athel Retallick in Dawson City.